Today is Father's Day. As I read a little piece this week, it says, mothers are loved, but fathers are followed. Take your copy of God's Word and or your bulletin and turn with us to James chapter 3. And stand with us, please, when you have found that passage of Scripture. And this is our text for today's message. Begin reading in verse 13, James chapter 3. Reading down through verse 17. The Bible says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Would you bow with us as we pray? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the fathers that are here. And Father, thank you for the devotion to Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you bless this day and help us to be more appreciative of that which you do for us and to live more faithfully for you. We pray your blessings in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to just mention first of all that first line from our text verse as we have read that for you here today. Look back with me there in verse 13. And look at that first line that says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? You notice a question mark at the end of that statement, which allows us then to consider the question that is placed. Who? Who? Now, I have shared with some that knowledge is that which we know, but wisdom is the ability to use that knowledge to a good benefit. Now the question that he has placed here for us is, who is that person? Who is that person that has knowledge? Who is that person that has wisdom? If there are those, then let their life bear that out by the way that they live. And that's what he says in the remainder of it. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. My text thought today is meek men. And with that, I share this piece of poetry. And it's directed at all of the men that are here. So men, any of you from the age of 1 month to 99, are you listening? Say, I'm listening. I'm listening. All right. Here's what it says. Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you're leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I am tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you're like I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. You know, Dads, we only get one shot at this, right? And all we grandparents, we talk about the do-overs. I wish I could go back and do this differently, and I wish that I could do that differently. And we get on these guilt trips about, I missed this opportunity, and I missed this opportunity. But make the best of it, Dad, whatever you have. Make the best of it. I recall back to when our boys were younger and coming along, there was a very popular song that I don't know the title of it, but it had something to, the lyrics were something like this, that the cat's in the cradle and a silver spoon and yada, yada, yada. And, And it went on to say the father, the message of it, the father was so busy, he didn't have any time to spend with his son. And then whenever the dad got older and he could no longer work, now that he wanted the son to come spend time with him. He said, "Oh, Dad, I got to do all of these things, you know, but we'll get together soon." Kind of happens that way, doesn't it? Life gets so busy. And then we hear all of this talk about the things that are wrong today, things that need correction. Well, we need lower gas prices for one thing. Amen? All who want lower gas prices, say amen. Dog, I got you listening now. Well, we want lower gas prices. We want better national security from all of this this Al-Qaeda stuff. We want protection. We want better job opportunities. We want someone to handle this issue with the national debt. And don't want it to cost me anything. I was reading some line this week that had to do with the biggest problem that's in our churches today. And so naturally that caught my attention. The number one problem that we're having to deal with in our churches today. What would you think that is? Are you listening? Well, I don't know if this writer knew what he was talking about, but I certainly hope this is not true at New Hope Baptist Church, but it said unforgiveness. Number one, unforgiveness with one another. Well, I'm going to just use that and say that I think that one of the greatest things that we need in today's society, and undoubtedly Billy Graham agreed with me, because he said, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society." You notice that. Men, we don't think that we're important. Mama takes care of everything. After all, every time you watch a football game in the fall of the year and they pan around and they get that big old bustling football player, he says, "Hi, Mom." You ever notice that? Well, there's we dads out there as well. But moms are loved, but dads are followed. Now, I said that I wanted to use in this text the thought of meekness. And when you listen to the very word meekness, what comes to your mind? Somebody that's gentle. Somebody that's, well, they never raise their voice. Meekness. Actually, this must be something, a term that is applicable to the women of our society. Because we men, we got to be macho, amen? Well, you know, when you begin to look through the Bible, are you listening? Only one time do I find that this term is applied to women. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. And listen to what it says. It says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel." Now let me stop right there and say, now a little paint never hurt any old barn. So, you know, take that with any context, all right? But then here's where this is injected in here. Well, he's talking about women there in these verses of Scripture. And he said, you know, all of this outer trappings, they're all right. But if you want genuine, real beauty, let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, I like the way he concludes this, which is in the sight of God of great price. It's commendable. God likes it. But whenever we think of someone that is being meek, we think of someone that is so gentle. As a matter of fact, we think that maybe the term effeminate might fit. But you want to know how to miss heaven? I tell you, be effeminate. That's what the Bible says. Actually, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, in that list of those people that are not going to heaven, men that are effeminate are one of those. Now, when you take your Bible dictionary, your Greek Bible, and you look at that word that is translated effeminate, it means soft. And whenever you study it more and you get on down to it, it says, here's what you get, that's meaning in that verse of Scripture. It's those who are given up, are you listening, to wantonness, to sensual pleasures, or get this, who are kept to be prostituted to others. That's what that word means. God says, not going there. So what is it that God wants when He's talking about meek men? It says in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. All right? So where are we going to go to get examples for this meek men that God wants us to be? Meekness describes great leaders. Any of you ever heard of Moses? Anybody here that has never heard of Moses, raise your hand and stay after class. Sure, you've heard of Moses. You know what the Bible has to say about Moses? The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses was the meekest man of all. Now, I don't know who has the largest family here, men. I don't. But let me just say, for instance, there may be some men here that you have eight children. Do you ever have any problems with eight children all wanting the same thing on the same day? All of them want to ride in the front seat. Right? They all want in the front seat. And so then when they can't sit in the front seat, they've got to sit in the next seat and then push their feet against the front seat. You've noticed that. So I just tell you this. Now then, Moses has the responsibility of over 3 million people that are looking to him for food, for water, for shelter. Every problem that they had, Moses, you've got to solve the problem. But the Bible says Moses was the meekest man of all the earth. I'd like to be like Moses. That's what God needs, some Moses to lead us out. Do you know meekness was used to describe Jesus? Would you call Jesus weak? Would you call Jesus a sissy? I dare you. No way. I see Jesus on many occasions. I see him once whenever they're crossing the sea and the boat is just up and down and back and forth and the winds are boisterous and the waves are washing over into the ship to the extent that the disciples think they're about to drown. And Jesus is asleep down in the bottom of the boat. By the way, if you're ever going to go on a boat trip, you want to know where the best place to be is in the center of the ship, the closest to the bottom. He said, well, what good's that going to do me? You're going to smell diesel fuel down. No, that's just another story. But Jesus is down in the bottom of the boat asleep. I lost y'all there. You still back to the... And so the disciples went down and they woke him up. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, follow with me, Jesus. He walks up. He goes up to the bow of the ship that's thrusting back and forth and back and forth and up and down and up and down. And he just waves his arm out and said, peace, be still. And whew, and their mouths all drop all the way down on their chest. They said, this is amazing. Even the wind and the waves obey him. That ain't no sissy Jesus that can do something like that. On another occasion, he goes into the temple. There are those people, those money grubbers that are bringing in the animals and the money, and they're making merchandise there in the Lord's house. And Jesus grabs a table and he turns it over. Money goes scattering everywhere else. I can see him moving this animal out of the way and this one out of the way. And he says, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. He grabbed up one of the whips and he ran them out. You ever read that passage of Scripture? Meek Jesus did that. Meek Jesus did that. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am, what? Meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus was strong enough to be confronted with Satan and yet be victorious. 40 days he was tempted in the wilderness. And he was victorious. In Matthew 21 and 5, he says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass and the colt, the foal of an ass. Meek Jesus. Let's look at the character. Let's look at the character of meekness. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 22 and verse 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. The meek. It's also stated in Isaiah 30 and 15, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You don't have to prove yourself. There's nothing to prove. All you have to do is trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Meekness obtains God's leadership. And that's ultimately what we want. That's what we're striving for. In Psalms 25 and verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. I said at the beginning of this lesson, what we need today are meek men, godly men, who will yield themselves to him and whose character will be the character of Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and 23, in describing those fruits there, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Meekness. In Ephesians 4 and 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. In Colossians 3 and 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. And then in 1 Timothy 6 and 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Meekness means you'll be the winner. You like a winner? Everybody like a winner? I like being a winner. You want to see the winners this week, you should see those kids. Whenever we'd get to question time, now then, all of you, raise your hand. Don't say anything until everybody's had a chance. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You got that now? And Valerie would stand up here and she said, now, children, don't answer out of turn. Don't answer. Don't say anything until... Did they do that?
No.
Even the preacher couldn't be quiet. Everybody wants to be a winner. Don't you want to be a winner? I want to be a winner. I want to be on the winning side. Psalms 37 and 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Have you ever heard that before? Seems like from my childhood I've heard that. The meek shall inherit the earth. I remember old Jerry Clowers in one of his little things that he said. They were playing Baylor. You remember this story? They were playing Baylor, and he said that them boys from Baylor, they were touting the fact that the meek shall inherit the earth, and he knew that was true. He had just inherited a lipful. Now, Jerry told it better, and y'all laughed a lot louder when Jerry told it. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And then we know that Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In Psalms 147:6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground, but he lifteth up the weak, the meek. Did you get that? That slip of the tongue? Meekness is not weakness. Amen? One of the greatest things about meekness, it makes us receptive to the call of the gospel. I remember when the Lord was stirring my heart about this coming to New Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, is this really what you want me to do? And there was just this desire that was there. Now, I remember Jesus quoted Isaiah one day when he went into the temple. And I went and I read that verse of Scripture again and again and again. And I still read that verse of Scripture, and here's what it said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What a glorious thing to be in the Lord's way. Meekness is the other side of repentance. When we become humble enough that we really become meek men. And one of our questions that we had in discipleship training in the adult book, the question was, what is it that keeps people from accepting Christ? What is it that keeps people from accepting Christ? Are you listening? Why? There may be someone listening to me right now, and the Lord has been speaking to your heart. There's been that desire there to give your heart and life to Jesus. What is it that keeps you from it? Is it a better decision? Well, sure. There's no way you would argue that to yield yourself to Christ is not the better decision. That's the best thing to do. What is it that keeps you from yielding your heart and life to Christ? Well, for one thing, you're going to have another opportunity. Could you show me that in the Bible? Could you take me to that place where it says that at such and such a time, then you'll have that opportunity? No, you cannot. But I can take you to places that says today is the day of salvation. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That is in the wisdom of the Proverbs. James says also in 1:21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. In conclusion, in Zephaniah 2:3, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgments, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Meekness is not weakness. Thank God for the privilege to fight the good fight of faith. Thank God for the desire to be a winner for Jesus Christ. Thank God for that fortitude that you're going to keep on keeping on. You say, but Pastor, I've tried and I've fallen down. I've tried and I've fallen down. You know the difference between a winner and a loser? The winner keeps getting up. They keep trying again and again and again and again. It's not how many times you get down, it's how many times you get up. I can guarantee you, you're going to get knocked down. But get up from there. Get up from there and fight the good fight of faith. Our invitation hymn today, just as I am, Sister Mary.